So we find ourselves here again on Mental Health Awareness Day. And when I was elected to the Senate, I did quite a lot of work on these matters, having been pretty public about suffering from depression in the past. And since I've given birth to my son Idris, I've found myself struggling to an extent with how my life has changed. Obviously very happy that Idris was born and that I've been able to spend so much time with him, but it has been, you know, fraught with new challenges of being a mother and not in work in the position that I've been in for 15 years, and having to juggle that mentally and to know where I want to go next. And I don't think I've entirely grasped that yet, if truth be told. So I think in different stages of life, it may impact us in different ways. And I think when I was a teenager, different to the teenagers of today with social media, Instagram, reports of depression intensifying via those mediums, that didn't exist for me. But I don't think that having these issues didn't exist at all. But I don't think we knew very much about them. For example, if I was being bullied or if I was feeling down, I might not have understood what that was and what that meant in how it came out, in how I interacted with my family or my friends or in the general social environments that I found myself in. And I think as somebody, you know, as we all do, go through puberty, it would have been difficult anyway. And so it's hard for me to imagine a situation where you're not only going through these changes in your life, but you're going through them in a very public way with the rise of Snapchat, TikTok, the reels on Instagram, demanding content for your every activity. And I say demand because I feel, even when I've tried to come off these social media platforms, there's something inside of you that may be influenced by your own thoughts or by others saying, oh, why are you going? Why are you leaving? That compels you to go back and to create more content. And on a radio show that I did today on Radio Cymru, the other guest mentioned the fact that there is that addictive element. It may not be the same as getting addicted to alcohol or to drugs or to other things, but there is that addiction for wanting more likes, for wanting more comments, or for wanting people to say how beautiful or otherwise you look if you put certain things up on those social media platforms. So I think it's going to take a while to see the impact on teenagers. But I think one of the studies that I read from the public UK School of Public Health, I think, was interesting to me in that it was saying that it affects our cognitive conversations with one another. If young people are not meeting up so much, not meeting face to face, so that they don't then develop the skills necessary to be able to interact in that way, because they're always having that interaction online and then spend most of their time online. So, you know, this is probably the beginning of something that we are going to find out much more about when those teenagers become adults and when they go into the workplace and when they have to interact with other people. I simply can't imagine how I would have felt growing up having that added intensity of pressure on me from social media. I'm 40 in a few months' time, and I feel a lot of pressure and a lot of body confidence issues still from, you know, if somebody's put a picture up of me at a demonstration, or a family member has posted a picture that I haven't been able to even begin to vet, then I see that picture, and if I don't like how it looks, I all think that I look a certain way, that I get upset about that, and it impinges on how my day goes. And that's silly when you speak it out loud, but that's the way that it affects you. It's okay, I don't have COVID. I'm just speaking too fast. So I think it's really important for us to try and look at this in compartments of different ages. because it's not going to affect everybody in the same way, judging by how we've been influenced or not by social media. I'm not talking about mental health generally, I'm talking about how it comes into play via social media. How it affects somebody in their 50s will totally be different to how it affects somebody who is 13 who's just opened that account. So I think there's a massive responsibility on the companies themselves to do more. When the Facebook whistleblower came out and said about how it was harming people's mental health and how they were putting profit before welfare, she mentioned that during the elections for the US presidency, that she was part of a team that Facebook had set up to try and moderate things more, to try and make sure that things were correct and that there wasn't false news going around. But they found that people just simply weren't clicking on stories so much, that there wasn't so much discussion, perhaps, because there wasn't so much sensationalisation of things. And they got rid of her department after said election, when she felt that that department was delivering a very good service, and a service that was necessary for these types of platforms, and hence her reason for standing down. So when I go on these radio shows and they say, oh, but is it possible? Can it be regulated? Can more be done? I think we have to say yes. These companies have millions upon millions of pounds of profit and investment, and they can afford to do it. It's whether they want to do it. And the trouble with putting the onus on the individuals to block, to mute, to take themselves away, to have a break, is that that doesn't solve the problem. It may solve the problem for that individual for a space of time, but not forever, probably. But it won't solve the systematic issue of how these companies operate and how they move on into the future. We may not be happy with Ofgem that regulates the electricity companies. We may not be happy entirely with how Ofcom works, regulating broadcasting. But they do have regulators. They do have people overseeing them. It isn't until a fuss is made by certain politicians that, you know, legislatures in the US or the UK may get Facebook in or may get other companies in to give evidence when they're doing a specific inquiry, but it's very, very light touch. And I think until we see Facebook and Instagram and whatever it is as a form of public service in a way, we're not going to be able and to put regulation in to an extent to be able to change the way they operate. We're not going to see bullying or depression or anxiety from these platforms go anywhere soon, because we will still see people using them. They will try to self-regulate, but it may not work to their best intentions. So my plea always is that we have to make this work via the companies themselves taking responsibility. And I don't think that's pie in the sky, and I don't think that is foreseeable in the future, but I do think it's going to take time and it's going to take political leadership. Where's that coming from? Well, that has to come from those in government and then those outside in key organisations lobbying for change. And I say that sincerely because I think we may see even more serious implications in the future. We've already seen people taking their own lives. We've already seen people being bullied to destruction on these platforms. And if we don't make the change, then I think that more tragic situations will happen in the future. To come back from the sort of more serious side of all of this, I don't think that there's going to be a situation where we will get rid of these social media platforms. I guess there's people who aren't on them who would say, well, just delete them, just ban them, just get rid of them. But that isn't realistic either, because I think they're here to stay. And there are many positive interactions that you can have. For example, when I was elected, I was able to engage with people about their issues and their concerns in a private way. If they DM'd me or if they talked to me on Twitter privately, that I wouldn't have been able to have had because they probably wouldn't have turned up to an advice surgery. And even now, if there's somebody in need, we can share a link, we can donate to them, we can help people. If there's an environmental campaign, we can get together, we can organise a protest via these platforms. So I think it's really difficult, especially for those organisations that do have ethics and equality at the heart of what they do, is how can we continue to use these platforms, but to also stay true to what we believe in, which is, you know, a lot of what we don't agree with and what Facebook does in terms of sharing misinformation, perpetuating trolling, not deleting posts that are racist or fascist or abusive. And so that's the where I think that more organisations of a campaign nature should get together, campaign against nuclear energy or campaign for a greener future, but have aims on how you would want to reform the internet so that you can do that in a better way, so that that campaign then doesn't have to feel guilty for being on a platform like Facebook, that they can continue to use it in a way that is positive. So on World Mental Health Day, when we talk about social media, I think it's important for us to remember that it's not the be-all and end-all of how we communicate with one another. Yes, there's positives. Yes, there's certainly negatives. But as I said about one of the studies that happened, people are not able to communicate potentially face-to-face as much anymore or as effective anymore. So the same is true when it comes to mental health. Yes, contact that person if you want to reach out, if they put a status up that's pretty cryptic and you think that there's something wrong, or if they blatantly say they're in need of support, that their mental health is suffering, then reach out. Do that in a genuine way, but find a way to do it beyond social media. Do you live nearby? Do you know somebody who lives nearby? Can you send them something in the post? Can you engage with them in an activity that you think that they may like? I think that's where we need to see the social media boundaries end, is human interaction trumps all ultimately. How we look at one another, our facial expressions, even just a simple kutch that we can start doing now COVID is starting to wane. Human interactions can't beat any type of message, in my view. So yes, let's talk about it on World Mental Health Day on our social media platforms, but let's also support one another in other ways as well.